Let me call your attention to our scriptorial passage for this morning. It comes from Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, the first four verses. Listen to these words by the major prophet known as Ezekiel. God grabbed me. God's spirit took me up and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He led me around and among them a lot of bones. There were bones all over the plain, dry bones, bleached by the sun. And he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Master God, only you know that." And he said to me, "Prophesy over these bones, dry bones. Listen to the message of God." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to share with you the title of my sermon. Bless you. The title of my sermon for this morning, "All Things Are Possible." And you see this box here that has those words on it. Let me turn it back around. All things are possible. Look to your neighbor and say the title with me. All things are possible. Amen. Amen. At the last service, these young people here that you see are all getting ready to go forward and conquer the world. We've been there. Waiting to graduate from high school to be grown and on their own. We are so grateful to have Rosalie's grandson included in the group. He's getting ready to go to Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia. And Cassandra is getting ready to go to Daytona State. And Mikhail is getting ready to go to Valencia College in Orlando. And Alexis is getting ready to go to Bethune-Cookman University. But then we have Daniel as well. And many of you remember Daniel's grandmother. And Steve was able to locate this picture. Uh-oh. He must have taken it out. That's all right. Always have a backup. Here's Daniel. Daniel had given us this information a little bit late. Actually, 2 minutes before the 9:30 service. So go figure that out. All right. But Daniel is going to Davidson. There he is. He received all kind of honors and all that kind of good stuff on his robe and all that the other night when we were there celebrating that baccalaureate. But all five of these graduates, in addition to the other graduates that you have, are so excited and getting ready to go out into the deep. So pray for them. Let's give all of them a hand. Praise be to God. Yeah. I have with me one of my tassels. I actually have four, but one that is close and dear to my heart. I received it in June 1980, from Seabreeze High School, just down the road there. My graduating tassel. How many of you have your tassel from your high school? All right. Yeah, I just treasure this. Worked hard to get it, too, 12 years. But anyway, all this hassle just for a tassel. It reminds me of a man who decided to look at his life and then put those words of his life in context and on paper. And so this unknown writer, he shares this poem as it relates to his own life. Perhaps could have easily been you or even me. But he writes these words as he reflects upon his own life. He said, "When I was in high school, I was dying to finish high school and then start college. And then when I was in college, I was dying to finish college and start a career. Then I was dying to get married and have some children. And then when my children were growing up and up, I was happy they were growing up and I couldn't wait until they got out." He said, "But now I'm dying for retirement. And in the midst of retirement, I realized that I've been doing all of this dying, and suddenly I haven't lived. Suddenly I haven't lived." Do you feel like you're on that road? all of these accomplishments, but you haven't lived. This man has a sense of hopelessness or emptiness, if you will. He was looking for the next thing to occur in his life, and he never had a chance to experience living. Let me call your attention to a prophet by the name of Ezekiel. And let me help you fill in the sermon notes. If you have your sermon notes on the back of your worship bulletin, if you need one, just raise your hand. But Ezekiel, and wait a minute, we had four people that, you have a bulletin? Okay, great. All right. Ezekiel is a major prophet and a priest. His name means strengthened by God. Strengthened by God. He's one of the major prophets. And before he was a major prophet, if you have your Bibles, look at Ezekiel, the first chapter. Because you'll see there, it doesn't matter what translation you have, you'll see that first he was a priest at age 25. And then 5 years later, it was God. God called him to be a prophet. And that was a big deal, a heavy responsibility. He was a member of the priesthood known as the Zolak. And yet God called him. In fact, Ezekiel would tell you, and you have it in our passage today, God grabbed him. It is as though God is physically grabbing him and making him a prophet. Perhaps you can recall the words that were shared in a Sunday school song. It says, Ezekiel saw the wheel. Way in the middle of the air. The big wheel turned by what? Faith. And the little wheel by the grace of God. Isn't life like that? I said to these graduates as they're getting ready to launch out and accomplish all those things we haven't accomplished. That faith will give you opportunity to set goals and to achieve goals. But you're going to need something within you. And that's the grace of God. I encourage them to write down these two scripture passages that are behind me as it relates to grace. And it's by grace, what? That we are saved. For by grace you have been saved by faith. And then look at the next one. My grace is what? Sufficient for you. God's grace. Here's Ezekiel, who's been called out of the priesthood and now called to be a prophet. The book bears his name. It's 48 chapters. And if you notice the book of Ezekiel, it starts out with God giving Ezekiel a responsibility as a watchman. And Ezekiel is called to warn God's people of their sin. Ezekiel shares a prophetic word, but he also gives warnings all throughout the first 30 chapters of his book. And it's not until the end that Ezekiel gives a word of hope. But he's reminding them that it is God who has taken us out of bondage, out of slavery, and is God who has freed us. And yet, when they were freed, they started worshiping idol gods. Who do you worship? And it's Ezekiel who comes and shares this prophetic word with God's people because he wanted them to see what God had in store. And isn't it wonderful that God has so many blessings in store for you and for me? Look at Ezekiel and the life of Ezekiel. I want to call your attention to at least three V words and help you explain the context of the passage of Scripture here. In this passage, the first V is vision. You have to have a vision for the future. This picture here is Linda and yours truly in Seoul, the streets of Seoul. And as we were around the streets of Seoul, we ran into some high school students who are part of a mission group. And their vision for the world is to go forth and to be missionaries. Look to your neighbor and ask the question, what is your vision? You can do better than that. Look to your other neighbor and say, what is your vision? What is your vision? What do you see? What do you see that God has for you? I shared another passage of scripture and asked the young people to write it down. It's from Jeremiah, the 29th chapter and the 11th verse. You remember Jeremiah said the words to the people concerning their future, concerning God. God wants to prosper you. God wants to give you a future, to give you hope and a vision for the future. That's God. But if you can't see the vision, or if you see the vision, know that there's going to be some stumbling blocks along the way. Notice there are going to be some stepping stones you're going to have to hurdle over. Notice there are going to be some moments of hopelessness. Notice there are going to be some moments of dryness. But you have to keep on going. You have to see the vision. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, I want you to look at this commercial here. With God, all things are possible. Just like that bird, there's going to be some stumbling blocks along the way, but you continue to have the vision. And then if you look at the passage, God grabs Ezekiel and places him in a valley of dead, dry bones. Now, don't be afraid, but Steve is going to dim the lights, but it reminds us of how Ezekiel was in that valley. And while in that valley, Ezekiel was alone with God, but he stayed connected with God. How do we know we have the words of the conversation? Here's Ezekiel and God in a valley. And he's surrounded with dead, dry bones. Bones everywhere. Look at these bones. You have toe bones and ankle bones and knee bones, back bones, head bones, and even neck bones. Amen. But Ezekiel was asked the question by God. In fact, God had the audacity to ask Ezekiel this question. Son of man, can these bones live? And look at the response of Ezekiel. It's the same type of response we should have when we're having our one-on-one time with God. Ezekiel said, Lord, I don't know, but you know. He gives it back to God. You know all things. You're omnipotent. You know everything. Not only is God omnipresent, but God knows all and can see all and do all. And so Ezekiel gives reference back to God. He says, Lord, I don't know, but you know. On last Wednesday night, participating at the high school baccalaureate services of both of our high schools, is a beautiful service. The speaker shared as it relates to Socrates, and he shared how Socrates was asked a question concerning all things, knowing all things, and Socrates concluded, I know nothing, but God knows all. I know nothing, but God knows all. I share with our young people, I know you've been thinking that your parents didn't know a thing. But God knows. God knows all. Son of man, can these bones live? And God shares that these bones are a representation of the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, and he pulls them together. Now he shares that this is a reflection of their own lives. They're empty, they're dying, they're hopeless. Because they have drifted away from me, from God. He shares with Ezekiel the words that he'd already shared with him in Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, if you'd like to write that down. And the 25th and 26th verses, God told Ezekiel, they have hearts of stone. And two words will transfer and transform their hearts. Just two words. A new covenant. A new covenant. God was getting ready to transfer their hearts by a new covenant, a new way, in order to increase their relationship with him. Now, don't raise your hands, but do you know some people who have hearts of stone? Hard-hearted. Cold-hearted. And yet God is getting ready to break it down. And he shares with Ezekiel, this is how the process will be in the midst of the valley. He says, Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy. I want you to share a fresh word. In fact, Ezekiel, I want you to preach. Share a good word, a word of hope. In the midst of despair, in the midst of dead, dry bones, they need to hear a word from you. How do we help lost people? Well, the choir shared it so beautifully. People need the Lord. They need a word from the Lord. Order my steps in your word, in God's word. And the lights will come on in their lives. And then the last V after vision and valley is victory. And there's victory in Jesus. Amen? Because if you notice how God allowed Ezekiel to prophesy to the dead, dry bones, but the bones didn't start moving, didn't start rallying until the wind came by, and then God breathed into those bones. He allowed the breath to come into those bones, and life was restored. There's a hymn that says, breathe, breathe, breathe in me, O God. If you need a fresh word from God, it's in God's word. And God wants us to know that all things are what? Possible. Look at our last bullet point as I get ready to close, is this point. What are you expecting and trusting God to do in your life today? Not tomorrow, not as it relates to what happened yesterday. What are you expecting and trusting God to do today? Know that the words of Jesus are sure and amen. Jesus said it this way. He looked at them and said to them, with men and women, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. In Jesus' name, amen.